This one doesn't have a switch.
Okay. Okay, we're ready. Good morning. Thursday, May 24th, Schenectady, New York. 26th, I'm sorry. New York State Racing Wagering Board meeting in Schenectady, New York, where it's unusually sunny, but the shades are down if you're listening online. Chairman John Sabini joined by board members Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. We will now call them as Secretary, Acting Secretary Kristen Buckley to call them in order.
Comment.
Well, don't we call them in order and then we have public comment. That's what we agreed to.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
The meeting can be called to order at 11:05.
And meeting's called order. Public comment period. Anyone from the public who has a rapturous desire to speak to the board, now is your time. In honor of the rapture.
It's not till October now.
Hearing none. Better on the Breeders' Cup, I suspect. Hearing none, we will move the agenda.
The first matter is to approve the minutes of the meeting held on April 27, 2011.
Minutes have been received and reviewed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
Item previously approved or referred by the chair. There's 149. Is there any discussion or questions?
No questions.
Nope.
Items previously approved, denied, or deferred by the board. There are three. And items to be approved, denied, or deferred by the board today. There's 10. And the first item being Western Regional OTV, New Easy Bet, Metellus, Rochester, New York.
Mr. Castro-Gallo.
Thank you, Chairman. This is the first of two easy bets would be before the board today from Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation. This entity is Metella's restaurant located in Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Metella's holds a valid liquor license and is a vendor for the New York State Lottery. Suitability review was conducted on this establishment and the principal owner of the establishment, which consisted of personal history disclosure form, financial disclosure, personal tax returns, credit history, business record check, criminal history, and various other background checks and public record searches. The review did not disclose any disqualifying information. The term of the agreement will be from 1 year and may be renewed for an additional year at Western OTB's option. Should the board approve the request, staff recommends the approval include the following conditions, which are the standard conditions with Easy Bets sites. One, wagering and simulcasting at the facility will be conducted in accordance with terms of the operating agreement presented to the board, as well as all applicable statutes and board rules, and that all wagering will be conducted through self-service terminals only. Two, the board's approval to operate an Easy Bet facility at this location shall expire and be of no force and effect in the event of any change in ownership or operation without prior approval of the board. And three, is expected Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation will arrange for the occasional inspection of this facility to assure compliance with the plan of operation and relevant laws and board rules, and certify to the board on a periodic ongoing basis that the conduct of wagering at this facility is in compliance with the foregoing. Staff's recommending approval.
Questions or comments on the Western Regional OTB Easy Bet at Metella's Rochester?
There was a...
Mr. Dunn.
I recall... Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I recall there was a lost stock certificate at one point. Was that...
That has been resolved.
That was from Mr. Matucci.
Yes, he's the sole shareholder.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Western Regional OTB, Metella's Easy Bet?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTB, New Easy Bet Facility, Lighthouse Lanes, Oswego, New York.
Mr. Castro-Gallo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Western OTB has requested approval, an amendment to their plan of operation to authorize an Easy Bet facility, Lighthouse Lanes. Lighthouse Lanes is located at 295 Albany Street in Oswego. There are actually two corporations with this application, so I'm if you forgive me if I go back and forth between identifying the two separate entities. Lighthouse Lanes operates the Bowling Alley Hoosier, Inc., which is a related corporation, is the bar, holds a valid liquor license, and is a vendor with the New York State Lottery. Lighthouse Lanes and Hoosier, Inc. are owned by the same individuals, with the same ownership percentage. A suitability review was conducted on the establishment, including both corporations and both principals. It consisted of a review of personal history disclosure form, financial disclosure form, personal tax returns, credit history, business records, criminal history, and various background checks. The review did not disclose any adverse information. Term of the agreement will be for 1 year and may be renewed annually at Western Regional OTB's option. Should the board approve the request, staff recommends that the same conditions of approval as the previous item be included with this approval. We are recommending approval of Lighthouse Lanes as an EasyBet facility for Western OTB.
Questions or comments on the Western EasyBet at Lighthouse Lanes, Oswego? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item, before, just out of curiosity, but on the record, there was a report in the Schenectady Gazette over the closing of the Upper Union Street branch of Capital OTB. Have we been notified of that?
We have sent actually two requests to Capital OTB regarding that. We have not been notified, as I'm aware of.
Is the branch operating today?
I believe it's still in operation, but I think where they were scheduled to close next week. Tuesday.
I believe it's next week. I called and Mr. Hemsworth was not in. I sent him an email reminding him of the obligation of the corporation to request approval of a plan of operation amendment to reflect the closure.
And how much advance notice do they need to give to be in compliance with the law on a plan of operation notice like that?
Well, the approval should be in effect before they actually close.
But there's no day window?
No. We don't have a formal time procedure for that. It's a somewhat ministerial.
Right. And what about notification to the public? The board's rules
require posting notice when OTB facility is closed. I mean, it was more meant for the closure for the day as opposed to...
Right, but I mean, when OTB branch is closed in New York City as part of the downsizing, no notice is posted on the door.
I would think as a matter of good business practice and customer relations that the corporation would want to do that.
Okay. That was a side comment, but I wanted to...
We'll reach out to him again today as well.
Okay, next item.
Tiger Downs request for approval of wastewater treatment facility project.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. Tioga Downs is requesting approval to construct or renovate the wastewater treatment plant on site at Tioga Downs. Pursuant to Section 322 of the Racing Law, alterations or discontinuance of existing buildings, seating stands, or structures require written approval of the board before such alterations are done. Tioga Downs stated that its current system is underperforming and is in fact under a DEC consent order from 2006 for undersize and a malfunctioning septic system. Tioga Downs recently signed a new contract, or a new consent order, excuse me, agreeing to begin construction of the new wastewater treatment plant by August 31, 2011. Construction is anticipated to be completed by January 31, 2012. The consent order does have fines that have been issued, but will be not enforced should they, as long as they remain in compliance with the consent order. So as long as they begin construction and meet the time frames as provided for in the consent order and as described to us with this application, no fines will be levied against Tioga Downs. I think the amount was $10,000 should they fail to implement.
Per day?
No, $10,000 fine, just a flat fine, then $1,000 per day for every day they're out of compliance should they fail to meet the time frame.
Do you know if there was an initial fine paid when the consent order was issued?
I don't believe there was. I think that the consent order was that they were supposed to get some work done, and I believe they even had a contract or an estimate from a contractor back in, I think it was 2009. Which was supposed to satisfy it, and this has been type of a long-term project.
Plus, didn't they also eliminate some of the barns so that they could meet the medium CAFO requirement, too?
I think they did that back. That was a separate issue, I think, with the CAFO, but I believe they did do that in 2009. Because this is for the actual, I think, for the facilities. the wastewater treatment.
I would note, if I may, that the record here, or the item, reflects the sign-off of Office Parks Recreation Historic Preservation, the town, and DEC as well. So this project has been reviewed over an extensive period by a number of different agencies and jurisdictions prior to coming to the board for this permit.
It's a large project. It's $2.6 million. It's going to take some time to do.
Without disruption to the racing and...
Sure. Correct, yeah. The actual physical location of the wastewater treatment plant is off to the side of the facility. It's nowhere near the backstretch, and Joel Levison actually went down and did a walkthrough and inspection of where the construction would be. And made assurances that the individuals won't have any impact on racing. It won't be in the backstretch. While construction will be going on during the meet, it'll have no impact on the meet. And then the portion of the construction that does have to encroach the track and get closer to the facilities won't be done until the meet is over. So it'll have no impact.
Any other questions or comments? And then we'll move the item on the Tioga Downs request for approval of a wastewater treatment facility. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Yonkers Raceway requests to allow harness horse breeders of New York State to archive and show video and audio replays of the 2011 New York Sire Stakes races from Yonkers Raceway.
Mr. Casarola.
Thank you. This is a request from Yonkers Raceway. To allow the Harness Horse Breeders of New York to archive and display on their website video and audio replays of races from Yonkers Raceway from the 2011 season. The race replay provider is Roberts Communication. Roberts maintains a timestamp audit log that shows the time and date of each race and when the replay is posted to the website made available to the public to ensure that that race replays are being showed and not live racing is being showed, so there's a clear audit trail. This is the same system that's in place at other tracks for other displays of other race replays and has proven to be effective, and staff is recommending approval.
Questions or comments on having the HHB replay on replay races for Yonkers on their website? Mr. Harvard.
I mean, I'm fine and all for it and stuff. I'm just wondering, you know, the legal authority, why it's necessary for us to approve this.
The rule, and I forget the rule number, but it does require that the display of any simulcast or wagering activity, live or not, is to be approved by the board before it's done.
Okay.
Yeah, the question has arisen with certain other applications
right.
for replays this year, especially since the agreement among the OTBs and the tracks for the live. And the answer is, as Tom indicated, the board's rules provide for this, and even the part that might be arguably subsumed by the existing agreement, that agreement will expire prior to the end of this calendar year, and if we don't proceed in this way, we'll lose control over what is or is not.
Would this be something we could just make as a standard part of the plans of operations and going forward?
If the tracks would submit this as part of their simulcast license application, actually that's an excellent point. And we'll make a note perhaps to amend the application process to include that. What sometimes happens, however, is that these contracts, which tend to be annual in nature, mm-hmm. are sometimes not executed in time for the forthcoming process. Yeah. But to the extent we can capture it, that's excellent.
Okay, then the other question I had about it in terms of this is that Roberts is not being compensated for this by them for having is the owners of this? I guess I was just wondering with the contract, if there's a contract other than this. It's between Yonkers and the Harness Horse Breeders.
Yeah, I mean, Roberts might be compensated by the Horse Breeders or Yonkers, but they're not pursuant to this agreement. It's probably a separate agreement. I know Roberts provides the uplink and downlink to Yonkers Raceway, so that might be worked into that contract.
Okay.
No, as I say, it's fine with me. I just think it's going to be happening more and more. And as time goes on, might as well just make it a regular.
Well, I wanted to note for the record that the Harness Horse Breeders are partners with the Agriculture Breeding and Development Fund as public relations and marketing council to that fund, which is also a state entity.
Well, I'm also wondering, your other hat on the thoroughbred fund, same kind of thing could happen there, right?
I think they have some of those, yeah.
I think they do now. I think this is new territory for HHP.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't think so. What you can ask on the record.
Next, we have to vote on the Youngest Raceway request to allow HHP to video stream and audio stream Sire Stakes races from Yonkers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Next item.
Western Regional MTB request to appoint position of Vice President Administration to Michael P. Nolan.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Western OTB is requesting from the board approval for the appointment of Mr. Michael P. Nolan to the position of Vice President Administration. Mr. Nolan was appointed to the position pending board approval at Western OTB's April 28, 2011 Board of Directors meeting. Staff has performed a limited suitability review of Mr. Nolan. His application and prints have been received and reviewed. Suitability review was limited to public records search, credit history report, the personal history disclosure form, and, as I said, the review of the fingerprints returns. Review did not reveal any potential disqualifying for Mr. Nolan. We do have completed suitability review on the report on file. Should the board wish to review it further, we're recommending approval.
Mr. Norman?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. I noticed that on the racing license application, it indicates that if you are checking a certain part of the application which asks if you are a public employee, you must fill out a public employee information form. And Mr. Nolan has, for the executive vice president's position at Western Regional OTB, is a full-time position, and his town supervisor's position is a full-time position. And I guess my question is he resigning from one of the full-time?
My recollection, which admittedly comes from reading the news clips, was that he was leaving the position at the municipality for this position.
Okay.
We actually, your concern is of course valid. The question actually exists on our application in relation to requirements of Section 107 of the racing law, because certain public officers and employees are not eligible to hold licenses issued by the Racing and Wagering Board. However, there is a further provision of the racing law, Section 502, Subdivision 16, which basically removes from consideration those ineligibility requirements under Section 107 for individuals who are directors, officers, and employees of OTB corporations. So although it appears as a question, and the answer is, of course, of interest in relation to the licensing eligibility, it really doesn't apply to this individual. But my understanding, and we could follow it up.
We did. Upon 7 days after he's been approved, he was to leave the position of town supervisor.
It raises eyebrows when you have one person with two full-time positions.
I'm jealous. Any other questions or comments on the application of Western Regional OTB to make Mr. Nolan the Vice President of Administration? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
In the matter of Yonkers Teller, there are 11 similar matters.
If I may.
Mr. Firestand.
Thank you. There are, as Ms. Buckley indicated, 11 matters listed by letter under the single number item 6. They all pertain to tellers, or if you will, paramutual clerks employed or formerly employed by Yonkers Raceway. In each of these cases, which I will identify by name, the individuals were served with orders to show cause requiring each to respond to charges based on conduct alleging wagering while on duty in violation of Board Rule 4122.10. Each order to show cause had, I believe, had a chart attached detailing the dates of the wagers and the numbers of wagers. The majority of the cases were heard together for purposes of receiving and examining certain common, if you will, evidence, and that was at a joint hearing. The designated hearing officer, Mr. Parente, has submitted individual reports as to each of the individuals. Each of the reports is basically the same, except, of course, as to identification, the dates, etc. In each of the reports, the hearing officer is recommending that the board find the individual involved guilty of the charged violations of betting while on duty in violation of the rule. And as to each of these 11 individuals, the hearing officer is recommending the imposition of a 30-day license suspension and $250 fine. I will, with your permission, read the names of each of the individuals, and I know the board has reviewed the record and the individual reports, and the board could either decide to determine them all at once by one vote collectively, or to vote separately on each of the ones. However, since they are all basically the same charges and the same recommendation of the hearing officer, it could be done as one. The names of the individuals are Robert J. Bellofato, Robert F. DeCecco, David M. Decker, George H. DeGrandi, Robert J. Gatto, Raymond Gorman, Natalie M. Greco, John J. Hayden, Daniel P. Jordan, Rosalie Richmond, Raymond Zukowski. Those are the 11 covered under item 6.
In the matter of these Yonkers tellers, there's a reason that the law is what it is, and that is to protect the betting public and the integrity of the conduct of wagering in New York State, and this is not something we can let pass easily. While I'm not happy with the result of finding this many people involved in this, the fact is I want to congratulate the fine work of our investigations unit over a long period of time that spent tedious hours combing through evidence, apparently, to document this. Questions or comments on the Yonkers tellers from the board?
I guess I have a question, just for my knowledge. At the conclusion of the 30-day suspension, what is the procedure after that? For the employee who's been suspended, do they come back to our board, or do they just resume?
Presuming that the individual has an existing license that carries past the period at the end of the 30-day suspension, the individual would just the license in effect would be reinstated
okay.
or resume the duties. As to suspension, if I may, Chairman. If the board upholds these 30-day suspensions, I would recommend to the board, in view of the fact that there are 11 individuals, which is a significantly large component of the number of paramutual clerks at Yonkers, that the board consider a system that I would suggest as 6 of the individuals receiving their suspension initially for 30 days, and then at the conclusion of those suspensions that the other 5 receive it. And what I would suggest, and in the interest of random selection, that the 11 simply be put in alphabetical order if there are not already in alphabetical order, and that every other one be included in the first group, etc., so that
that's an appropriate way to meet this out, because at the same time we don't want to we want the licensee to continue to have a business, and we want the betting public to continue to have availability of mutual clerks. So I think that's a well-crafted idea. Mr. Hogan?
Will any of these folks, when they're out for 30 days, are they going to lose any benefits or anything from work as a result of being off for 30 days?
I do not know the answer.
Because I'll be honest, John, my thinking on this would be to kind of modify it instead of having to worry about getting them off and say that $250 or a 30-day suspension, and call it out that way. Get the money up front for all the people who want to work. And are we expecting they're all going to go back to work?
Of this group of 11, I'm not certain, but I believe they all are continuing to work and would continue to work. I know that of the subsequent three, for whom the recommendation is different, those individuals are no longer working.
Okay.
I would have to examine each of these.
Is there any record of management discipline on these employees?
Management, my recollection is that management did discipline these employees with the understanding that the management discipline was not necessarily dispositive of the charges against the board.
If I could again, going back to Member Diamond's point at the end of the suspension, I mean, what if we got to chase these guys? They're not going to be able to go back to work if they don't pay the $250. I'd rather just do it up front, to be honest with you, and hopefully just make it, go away. And then, tell them as we do with everybody else. Okay, one time, next time it's going to be way, way, way worse. And we tell them that if this happens again, talk about more than suspensions, but revocations.
Well. Certainly the degree of discipline is up to the board. I would simply point out that these are individuals where these were not random acts.
I understand that.
I have to say I disagree with my colleague, Mr. Hogan. This was a pattern of behavior that was observed over a period of months, not a capricious one-time thing. And
I just don't see 30 days or even $200 really changing anybody's mind that much. That's my view. I'd rather just have the money and tell them if it happens again and you're caught and we're going to be watching you, you're going to be gone. But I will go with
the impact of not working 30 days is a significant. Would act as a significant detriment, I believe. I concur with the hearing officer.
Me too. Any other questions or comments? All those who want to uphold the ruling of the hearing officer on the matter of the Yonkers Tellers, as stated by name by Mr. Firestein, say aye.
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 Thank you. Next item.
In the matter of Jerry F. Caberto.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. Mr. Cabretto was a harness racing and pari-mutuel teller, and I believe also a supervisor. He was served with an order to show cause similar to the order to show cause I described relating to the individuals whose matters were just determined by the board. Once again, there were charges of wagering while on duty in violation of Board Rule 4122.10. Hearing Officer Parente submitted the report, which you have before you with the record, in which he recommends in this case that the board find Mr. Cabretto violated the rule cited and that the license here be suspended for 60 days with imposition of a $500 fine. I would note that the hearing officer's report contains an explanation of why for Mr. Cobrato, as well as Mr. Kluber and Thompson, whose matters will come next. There was a different penalty recommended as opposed to the other 11 individuals. I would also note that, to my understanding, each of these three individuals, Cobrato, Kluber, and Thompson, are no longer employed. So, in effect, a license suspension would be noted on the record. In the event the individual ever applied for a license, it would be addressed at that point.
Questions or comments on the Cobrato item? Hearing none, all those in favor of the hearing officer's report, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
In the matter of Kurt J. Kleber.
Mr. Firestein.
Mr. Kleber, a harness racing paramutual teller, is in a similar situation in the sense that he was served with an order to show cause with the same charges involving wagering while on duty in violation of 4122.10 of the board's rules. Once again, the hearing officer submitted a report. As to this individual, the board has the report, and the recommendation of the hearing officer is that Mr. Kleber be found to have violated the relevant rule and that there be a 60-day license suspension and $500 fine. I would note that Mr. Kleber and Mr. Thompson did not appear for the hearing. The vast majority of the other individuals did actually appear.
Questions or comments on the Kluber item? Hearing none, all those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's report on Mr. Kluber, say aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
In the matter of John P. Thompson.
Mr. Firestein.
This is the final matter involving Yonkers Paramutual Tellers today. In this case, Mr. Thompson was served once again with an order to show cause, much like the other individuals, containing similar charges of wagering while on duty in violation of the same rule. Once again, the hearing officer submitted a report, which the board has with the record, recommending that the board find that Mr. Thompson violated the rule and that his license be suspended for 60 days with a $500 fine imposed.
Questions or comments on Mr. Thompson's case?
Mr. Chairman, just let me...
Mr. Dine.
I want to, now that we're concluding the matters of the Yonkers Tellers, I would just like to thank also the hard work of our staff, Racing and Wagering, the attorneys, particularly Joe Levinson, our Director of Investigations, and also Clem Parente, the hearing officer. They all did yeoman work, and... as you said, I congratulate them also. As we are all aware, when integrity is compromised on any level, it severely undermines the confidence of the consumer. And as the board, we are watchdogs of this industry. So I know that I speak for Mr. Hogan and Chairman Sabini. We take this very seriously. The experience, character, and ethical fitness is paramount to the industry. And I'm confident and hopeful that our actions today will send a clear message that behavior inconsistent with the public interest will not be tolerated. So again, I thank all of our employees for your diligent efforts.
Mr. Hogan.
Tom, if now that this is passed and everything else, do we have a working corrective action plan with them in place at Yonkers?
We are working with the Yonkers management on the finalizing and implementing the corrective action plan. We do have a plan that was submitted here by Yonkers management recently that we're reviewing and we're addressing with them.
And they've been cooperating throughout the process?
We've been meeting with them several times and working with them, yeah, to go through it.
Okay.
Okay. On the matter of Mr. Thompson, all those in favor of accepting the hearing officer's report, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Last item.
In the matter of the protest of the steward's decision to disqualify and place second Austin Mercer in the second race on March 31st, 2011 at Belmont Park.
Mr. Firestone.
Thank you. This is an appeal.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
So, okay, all right. Go ahead.
This is an appeal by the owner of Awesome Merger. Awesome Merger finished in first place and was disqualified, excuse me, and placed second behind the horse Zio Tony in the second race on March 31 this year at Aqueduct Race Track. There was a motion to dismiss the appeal on the ground that this is a non-reviewable placement decision. There was no opposition to the motion received. Upon review, the hearing officer, Mr. Clemente, has submitted the report that the board has before it, in which it recommends that the appeal be dismissed, both on the grounds of default and because the steward's decision is not subject to appeal.
Questions or comments on the Awesome Merger issue? And then my only comment is I'm for people that we don't try cases in the racing form. I'll leave it at that. All those in favor of upholding the steward's decision on Awesome Merger in the second race at Belmont Park, March 30th.
No, Aqueduct.
March 31st, 2011. Say aye.
Aye.
Item is approved.
Yes,
items. Aye. Items for the board information discussion. There were six. Does anyone have any discussion?
Nope.
And follow-up items were zero, and there are no. That's it.
On that note, once again, I want to thank the Audits and Investigations Unit, Tom Casaragola, Joe Levinson, and attorneys involved as well for their work on the Yonkers matters. And with that, we will close the meeting and urge everyone to have a happy Belmont Stakes Day.
Happy Memorial Day, too.
Adjourn the meeting at 11:41.
Okay, I guess we're still on.
That was a great greetings.
That's what happened. I couldn't see the satellite went out. The gate opened.
Because of the storms?
Storm came through. The gate opened. And
yes.
Yes, everyone.